hatchery King Salmon near Petersburg got a little extra help making it to their spawning grounds this summer. Low projected returns triggered the closure of the popular freshwater sport fishery that targets the kings. And as KFSK's Hannah Floor reports, the projections inspired managers to give the fish some unconventional help.
The king salmon at Blind River Rapids aren't in a hurry to head upstream. They're just hanging out in the clear, rocky waters as their bodies get ready to spawn. It's a cloudy day in July. Eagles are overhead. Mosquitoes are everywhere. On the shore, biologists and volunteers and hatchery workers are waiting to help some king salmon take the long way home using four-wheelers. The plan is to scoop the fish out of the water, put them in totes, haul the totes to the four-wheeler, drive it up the quarter-mile boardwalk to the road where a bigger tote is waiting, which, once full, will be trucked up the highway to Crystal Lake Hatchery, where the salmon will ripen for a few weeks before they spawn. That's the plan. This is the first time they've tried it.
So, Bill, we're going to put them in here, carry them over there. No?
They're giving it a shot because each year they need enough spawning salmon to return to the hatchery to create future king salmon runs. Those returning fish are called broodstock. The hatchery didn't meet its broodstock goals in 2 out of the last 10 years. This year, projected returns are low.
We just finally got to the point where we figured we had to try something.
That's Bill Gass. He's with the Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, a group that manages the 50-year-old Crystal Lake Hatchery, as well as others in the region. He's calling the shots today. Gass says management has talked about the possibility of this salmon shuttling for decades, but it's risky. The fish will get stressed out when they're caught and then moved from tote to tote. That stress could affect their egg viability or even kill them. So why can't the fish get themselves to the hatchery?
This is just an unusual place. It's all these fish can do to stay alive.
Gass says that's because the salmon have to swim up an intertidal slough that becomes rapids in some places. It's shallow and rocky, especially when there's not a lot of rain or the tides are low. That makes it hard for salmon to swim through, and it means it heats up quick. And as state biologist Patrick Fowler says, king salmon don't do well with heat.
They can tolerate high temperatures for, you know, a period of time. And then there is the red line where, like, if it gets that warm and we have a lot of fish in a small space with not a lot of water coming, that's often what kills them.
The kings tend to hang out in the rapids for several weeks. If there's rain and high tides during that time, the salmon stand a good chance of making it to the hatchery. But if the tides are low and the weather's warm, well, some years Blind River Rapids is littered with rotting salmon carcasses. While that's good for scavenging eagles and bears, it's hard for the hatchery to meet its broodstock goals. So is this problem due to climate change? Fowler says there's not enough data to know.
We don't have great temperature records, you know, going back in the length of time that we need to know specifically for blind slough. We know we've had die-off events in blind slough decades ago.
He says while it's not a new issue, warmer waters in the slough will add to the problem.
I don't see the problem getting better into the future. I'd probably phrase it that way.
According to Rick Fritsch with the National Weather Service, warmer air temperatures are a predictor of warmer water. And he says data strongly suggests that 15 miles north in Petersburg, average July temperatures increased significantly in the 50 years since the hatchery was built. At the rapids, things are getting underway. Fowler helps organize volunteers.
Okay. Who here has waders that, like, wants to get in the water?
6 people raise their hands.
All right. So we have 2 300-foot nets. And the idea is we're going to put this one on the downstream, basically from here to that point of land, to keep king salmon from, keep them from running down.
They walk out the first net, then another upstream from the first, boxing in the fish. That makes it easier to scoop them up in a dip net and walk them toward a holding tote in the shallows. From there, they get rushed,
coming through,
gently,
right behind you,
to a tote on wheels on shore. And they're pulled up to the waiting four-wheeler. Only 2 or 3 fish make the trip each time. The kings are chauffeured slowly to minimize jostling. Up at the highway, volunteers help dump them into a bigger tote. They'll wait to truck the fish to the hatchery until they've got about a dozen. Eventually, Bill Gass hoofs it up the road to check on the salmon. He peers into the water.
Are they still swimming?
Oh, they're doing great now.
Okay.
Doing great.
That's what I was hoping to see.
By mid-afternoon, the team has moved 64 fish to the hatchery. Not a single one dies. The next week, they do it all over again, and this time, 82 fish, one mortality. They'd planned on a third day, but with high tides and heavy rain in the forecast, they decide to call it quits. While they still need more than 1,000 fish to make it up to the hatchery the old-fashioned way, Gas says he's pretty pleased. Still, I have to ask.
Why is all this effort worth it?
Well, people love king salmon. And, you know, this is the only way to keep things going. We've got to have eggs. We've got to get these fish to the hatchery.
Gas says the effort was a test of concept. Now they'll track the eggs of the transported salmon to see how successful they are and what the survival ratio is. Gas says they'll know more in mid-August once hatchery workers start the spawning process. That's where they fertilize fish eggs by hand. In Petersburg, I'm Hannah Flohr.